Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Oh, hello, the internet. Wake up now. Wake up, y'all. Don't go to sleep just because the substitute's here. We still got learning to do, book reading to do. Welcome, my students, to season 163, episode 5 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. If you forgot to read your class syllabus, you will know that this is the podcast where we kick off the top of America's shitty skull, look into its shared consciousness, get freaked out, put the skull back on, try and problem solve. And then, you know, just have a drink and maybe,
and
you
know,
bite to eat
after. And then copy off someone else's paper. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And plus, I'm not running your papers through any kind of search software, so plagiarism is allowed. And look, it's fine, because it's Friday, December 11th, 2020. I guess 40-something days till January 20th. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Secretary of Defense, Miles Graytheon. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host. That's what I'm just feeling, right? You know what I mean? Like, when it's just me and the Zamboni.
Out.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Zam and Graytheon show. Please welcome Jamie Loftus.
A.K.A. Jamie, Jamie, Jamie. Can't you see? Sometimes your pod's about Zambonis.
Ooh.
There. Yeah.
Ooh, and I just like, love your icy ways. Guess that's why the rink surface needs to be saved. I don't know. We're still we're workshopping.
You know, it's substitute teacher energy. We'll figure it out in the lounge. You know, yeah. And take it to the lounge.
Who was that from? Who hit you with that one?
It was a collaborative effort. Let me find. I need to find who did it. But it was someone did a version of that, and then another person replied, "You should have included the word Zamboni."
Yeah, that. It's funny when I watch the AKAs be formed in real time, like collaboratively.
Yeah.
You'd love to see
it. It was a collab, and it was a bit of a scold. And let me find out who did it. Oh, I keep closing the windows that I'm supposed to keep open. It's from Kevin Amend and Bag of Trips. It was a collaborative effort. Kevin came in with the suggestion. Bag of Trips responded by saying, "Where the fuck is the
respect
word
Zamboni?
The Zamboni
lore. You fuck."
And then right, Kevin replied, "Fuck." So thanks to both of them.
Like, they knew. It was like, oh, fuck. Like, that's how I read that fuck as
yeah,
a tweet.
Exactly.
Like, not like fuck, but like, fuck. You're right.
It was everyone was vibing in their replies. It was
we
good.
Love it. We love it. Yeah. Before we get to our guests, let's tip our hat to what we got on the docket today. Yeah. Just a quick, the White House, the gross ass White House will be fully cleaned before the new old guy moves in. Mm-hmm. We're also hearing that, you know, we heard of Joe Biden talk a lot about the science and stuff, and we'll see how he's doing with the mm-hmm. listening to science part of things. That was a big part of his campaign. We're also going to talk about this fucked up Facebook group for vacation enthusiasts, which is really something else. The Daily Beast.
I was like, are we going back to Mensa? I really don't have the constitution. Okay.
I mean,
different Facebook group.
But it feels like they're all coming from like the same contrarian tree. At the very
same
least,
energy.
Like where it's saying it's about vacations, but the more you look, you're like, is this really about vacations and COVID or just this superiority complex? Or
Facebook
you can't
group
tell
is
me
never
nothing.
What it's supposed to be about ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we're going to talk about some deception going on at mm-hmm. Disney World, Disneyland, you know, some subterfuge happening in their photographs, as well as just a touch with the new Zorro reboot, because there's, you know, it's the time, it's the decade of reboots, and it continues.
Right.
But before we get to all that, we have to welcome our guest, someone who was quite literally going to be on the show in mid March, and then right at the last minute was like emailed. Austin was like, you know, I'm actually, you know, I'm from the UK and I'm thinking it probably better for me to go home, you know, given this seems like this pandemic thing is happening. But we got her back. Thank the Lord. Please welcome. Oh, just one of our favorite people to talk to. Our favorite Norwegian Scottish person, Katja Kvinge.
Welcome.
You're Norwegian, right?
You.
That was I got it right?
Yeah,
did I
yeah.
get the mix right?
Yeah,
okay,
Norwegian,
sure.
American, born
Norwegian
in
American,
London, grew up in
Scotland,
family
what,
from here, family from there.
You got the whole Benetton family. Yeah, I the chances are I could say any smattering of countries and it would probably resonate with you. So
yeah, I was once introduced on stage as the Irish, Canadian, Swedish girl. I was like, so close.
Wow.
So close, but not quite. Just ever so slightly. Edge to the left.
Yeah, just turn your globe by 1 degree and yeah, the right countries will line up.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what's new? Are you in Europe at the moment?
I'm in London right now, yep.
Okay. Shout out to London.
London, yes, nice to be here. I feel like sometimes when I've been in the UK for a while, like hearing you guys speak like with your American accents, like it feels like such a comfort that I miss so much, like that LA, I don't know, just
being
that
around.
That
What's
energy.
Up, Katja?
yeah, and there's just like such a different culture in the UK. I just had an audition today where I had to get someone in the UK to read with an American accent because this was like UK morning time, which mm-hmm. everyone in LA that I would know would be asleep. Mm-hmm. And it was so hard to find someone that could do an American accent. And I put a thing out on Instagram asking, can anyone? And it ended up being such a fun thing. Oh, great. And now my phone's ringing.
So whimsical, that phone ring, though.
I know.
Yeah, this is British phones.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Chim Chiminy. I have to wait until the other person in the other room answers it. Okay, there we go.
Without
I actually it. Just signed with an LA manager, and while he was, we were doing our Zoom meeting, deciding like if we should like work together. His kids came in on the meeting as he was like trying to be like, "Yeah, I'd like to work with you." And it reminded me of that like video that went viral of like the journalist and the,
oh yeah,
the
who's
kids
like in Korea
in and they like pull. Yeah, that literally happened. The kid's nanny was like, "No," like
Get
pulling
in.
The kids. In. Yeah,
it happens.
But no,
it's
really
Zooms.
Nice to speak to you guys.
Of course.
It's so nice to talk to you too. I can't recall the last time I've heard anyone say they missed hearing an American accent. So,
right.
I was like, wow.
Especially the last couple of years, especially.
Yeah. I was like, I feel like we're.
Yeah.
I think, my dad's American. So there's like a comfort. It's like a familial comfort. But I know there is that cliche. But I think now more like when we see Americans in the UK, we're kind of like, are you guys okay? I know you've had a rough 4 years.
Because, we're like the trash, like losers. Like everyone's like, oh, man, like it was a lie this whole time. Those poor bastards.
They had
like,
a rough
okay?
ride.
You know, your country's actual dog shit. I don't know if you knew that this whole time. It's like, well, some of us did. And we were the ones that they were calling radical or whatever. But how has the sort of pandemic been treating you from the lens of being in Europe and your own experience?
Well, so like you said, I was meant to do your podcast, and then Trump was saying that he was going to ban anyone leaving the country. So I was like, oh, got to get out of here. So I booked the flight back to the UK within like a week's notice or something. And I ended up catching coronavirus on the flight. There were so many people coughing.
Really? Yeah. So wild.
And I was in bed for 2 weeks sick, and then I got a concussion a week after I recovered.
What?
I don't know. Feel like COVID for me, like I had all the breathing issues and pain in my kidneys, and my whole body was just like wiped out. But I also felt kind of like a little disorientated. Like, it sounds so stupid, but like, you know, like if you walk through a door, you walk in the middle. But for some reason, after having COVID for like a week or two, I would like, it was like my sense of direction was off, and I would like walk and just my elbow would hit it. Mm-hmm. And then so one night I'd had the bathroom door closed, which I like never do. And I like had just really good news the night before I went to bed. So I was like, I woke up in the morning just like so good, like so happy, and smashed my face on the door because it was closed, which it never is. So yeah, then I was concussed for a week.
And, wait, that's how you concussed yourself? Was because you walked
just in, on the door.
And because you had a little bit of the fog from COVID. Wow.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. And God. then I had that long COVID. So unfortunately, I've still had like, chest pains and kidney stuff. But apart from that, like it comes in waves. Like right now I feel completely fine. And then I was fine like a few months ago. And then every now and then I'm like, oh, God, fuck, this has never happened before.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So yeah, it's weird. Yeah. But yeah, just trying to eat healthy, do what I can. And hope nothing happens.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, a note to all of us that there's no level of safety that we can take or precaution we can take when it comes to
Yeah, it's odd. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I actually got stuck up in Edinburgh during the lockdown in the UK. And the news articles were all just like, you know, like this is an apocalypse, the world's ending. And I was so glad that I was staying right by the ocean, like by the water, because I was kind of just like, I'd look out the window, I'd be like, well, the waves are still waving, like life finds a way.
Right.
It was like, that was like super
The gulls
calming.
Are still here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like I can't get those LA edibles, so it's like I've got my UK ways.
I mean, yeah, if you need a...
Yeah, we do have that going for
us. If you want a bit of a snide package sent to you, let us know. as we'll say, we'll leave that there because I'm not an international drugs trafficker. Or am I? Who's just merely pretending to be a podcast host. The most uninteresting action film you've ever seen.
The worst long con you've ever heard
it's like,
of.
What does he do? He's like, oh, he's dodgy. He sends edibles to people in Scotland.
You guys got Iron Brew the last time I was on the podcast. So you had it from Scotland.
We had the brew. Yeah, we had to have the Iron Brew, which delicious, like bubblegum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
shout
out
to the brew. Okay, well, Katya... Let's dive in a little bit with you and see what's going on with you. What's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are or who you have become?
Yes.
Or who you have been.
Who have become. Yes. Who have been.
Ooh. Who you're leaving behind.
Yeah. Well, okay. So this kind of answers all of them. So I just looked at it today. All my searches just the last few weeks have been like, and it would literally just be like one name. It would be like Jennifer Aniston, Melania Trump, Olivia Colman, Miley Cyrus. And that's all it is just different names of celebrities, which I think any detective would be like, what? Yeah. But, it's because I've been filming a bunch of impressions videos, and I did like a video doing a bunch of like different voices and stuff. And I just sometimes would just literally Google the name to be like, oh yeah, that's how they hold their mouth, or that's how their how their shoulders are, or that's like how I should do their makeup. So yeah, my search history is just like one name, random celebrity.
Who's been the most difficult person to do an impression of?
I actually
or
was
like
gonna
of
try
your new
do...
ones, because I mean you're a really solid impressionist, so I'm curious of like what you struggle with.
I just tried.
If you struggle,
well, so
it's
I
a wrong
filmed
word.
This. I filmed this 26 voices video and I ruined my voice the next day, and I was just like then trying to film a video doing Mariah Carey, and I was like there was no way it was gonna happen. Like, I just
yeah,
kind of like
tones.
Yeah, there was just no way I could reach that. I think there's just like and men, I find it hard to like be sound like a man sometimes. Mm-hmm. If only I could do men, then I could do everyone. Like, if there's someone that I haven't tried out yet, then it's kind of just trying to find the hook and what's the kind of angle, or who am I gonna,
right?
Yeah, how am I gonna do this person?
That 26 voices, when I remember people, like a lot of friends were passing around at the time.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, because that shit went viral, you know, legit viral, that video. Cool.
That was so good.
It was great. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's Katya. And they're like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, that's the homie, fool. You don't know.
Came on my podcast before COVID.
Coronavirus. We almost hung out in London during the World Cup, yeah, but our schedules didn't line up. Yeah. They're like, so do you have proof? I'm like, well, I have, maybe if I look at my old text messages, you might see something. I was saying, I'm like going to, you know, Brixton or something. But yeah. It was
every time I do this podcast, you always bring that up. Like, we almost hung out.
Almost. I know. Yeah. It was just, there was, yeah. I think, well, it would have been fun because of the World Cup.
So
and I think
weird.
We were going to catch an
I
England match.
And that would be fun. But for some reason in my memory, I, for some reason, have this memory of seeing you in London, but I totally, that didn't happen.
No. Almost.
I don't know why
almost.
I thought that.
This is now a Misconnections podcast.
I know.
Yeah.
but we squarely know each other very well.
Yeah.
Like, ah, darn it.
Right. Yeah, I actually bumped into Jack where was it? The Grove. Before I left town, actually.
Yeah.
And I rode that trolley with him and his kids. the cart that goes through the Grove.
I don't know why the image of Jack at the Grove is so funny to me.
It is.
But picturing Jack at the Grove makes me laugh.
Well, because we all think of Jack as like not just going to the Grove, like in our minds, he's like reading books or like researching stuff, not doing the hyper consumer shit, like being like, oh, I had to go to Yankee Candle Company, like, no,
exactly.
Jack loitering outside of a cheesecake factory, like, it makes sense and it doesn't.
Well, yeah, because he's more, he has like his head in like the serious shit. Like, the most jokey thing I can see him doing is like, yo, I caught him at that Mountain Dew con. It's like, okay, that's more like on brand for him, but like the Grove on a trolley. No.
Grove on a trolley.
Not our Jack.
We need to paint that.
That's funny. The first time I actually met Jack was doing when he did Cracked, that podcast, mm-hmm. Cracked.
Right.
And we were actually talking about Mountain Dew, like how it's illegal in the UK. I think it's still illegal. I'm not sure. But because of, there's like so many products in the UK that aren't allowed, that are legal in America, but aren't allowed in the UK because of the contents and how they're bad
and
for you.
What's funny is like the stuff in the EU and UK that we can't get here is because we'd rather upcharge people for a prescription and not have it over
100%,
the counter. Like that's like the 100%. Fucked up part. Like on the other side, it's like, no, we don't want people to have yellow number 5 dye in Europe because it's not good for you. And the US is like, hold on, man, is that cold medicine gonna actually knock your fucking cold out?
Yeah,
oh, no.
Yeah,
we
can't
that.
Have that. We can't
no,
have
no,
that.
No. That's too strong. You need to go through an insurance company for that. So.
Yeah,
totally.
Stark differences. Katya, what is something that you think is underrated?
Underrated. Okay, so at the start of lockdown, I started learning Spanish on Duolingo because I was like, when I get back to LA, I want to be able to speak Spanish.
Okay.
And I'm actually loving it. I'm now on a 233-day streak, like a total nerd.
Oh, that's
amazing.
Yeah,
I've been doing it the whole time. And I mean, I don't know. I keep telling people that I'm doing Duolingo and everyone's like, that's rubbish. Like, you're not going to learn anything. And I can't believe how much Spanish I've learned from it. But then anytime someone tries to have a conversation with me, all I can think of is, yo como manzanas, which is I eat apples. Like, that's the annoying thing is, like,
ooh.
I get too nervous because I've not had it in conversation. But on the app, I'm like a whiz.
Yeah. I mean, ¿por qué elegiste Duolingo?
Sí, yo aprende... pero yo no. I don't know what you said.
I mean, full disclosure, I had to use Google Translate to ask you, why did you choose Duolingo?
Because,
you know, this is a Babbel show.
Thing I knew.
When we talk about learning foreign languages, you know, there's an embargo on mentioning Duolingo.
I'm a Rosetta Stone head. I'm old school.
Oh,
call me
really?
Old fashioned, but I use the old. No, I don't.
No,
I don't know anything. I don't know anything.
And all
my
Spanish
problem.
Is secondhand, just from osmosis. It's funny because I have the Babbel app that I'm trying to learn more Spanish with, but I just can't get my streak going.
Yeah, I know. That was the exact same as me. But 233
days is wicked.
I know. That's I can't believe it.
That's like all of lockdown?
Yeah, so the only way I've managed to do it is first thing when I wake up, it's the first thing I do. Otherwise, I would never be able to keep a day streak. Because you just do other things and you just get lose track of time. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. That's probably the only thing I've ever managed to do for that long in my life.
That's amazing.
Wait, why Spanish? Was just because of LA, or did you have any other connections with Spanish throughout your life?
I went to Mexico in January, actually, right before lockdown. And
yeah, that's one connection.
I love Mexico. But also, I love tacos and Mexican food so much. But when I was in LA, I was so embarrassed because I asked for... It's like the pork, but a certain type of pork begins with a C, which I can't remember.
Carnitas?
And I asked... Carnitas! But I always forget what it is, and I accidentally said, can I have the pork quinceañera? And he was like, you want a party?
Oh, like, no!
I know. And after that, I was just like, cool, so I need to learn Spanish now.
Yeah,
but he found it hilarious. Roasted. Thank God. I know. Thankfully, he was like really nice. But
I would have been like, yo, she said pork quinceañera! They're like, you want a 15-year-old pork dish that turned 15 years old, and we're having a party for it?
Oh, my God.
I know. I was mortified. And that's when I was like, I mean, if I'm going to go to LA, I'm learning Spanish.
Yeah. You got to have that. I mean, like, no Angelino can walk around with, you got to have some Spanish in the back pocket.
Yeah,
because,
yeah, for sure.
That's good for you. Don't want to be one of these trash people who's like, I don't give a shit. Yeah, they should have known what I meant. And you know
what?
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Also, you internalize the guilt and now are learning the entire language top to bottom. That's
you come back and you're speaking like Castilian and they're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I really hope I see the same guy and I can just like wow him and like just say like sing a Spanish song or something.
Right.
Like an apology poem.
Right. It ends up backfiring. He's like, this felt very patronizing and offensive, actually. Yeah, so I actually don't want to serve you anymore. But that's good. You know, shout out to anybody learning languages, especially like later on in life, because like it really does help your brain. Like you want to keep that shit fresh. Like you got to do new shit like that and test it.
Definitely.
Love hearing that. Katya, what's something that you think is overrated?
I know people love it, but I find Instagram Live a little bit overrated. Mm. Okay, so I just saw Pharrell. I'm just saying this because I literally just saw this. Pharrell Williams went Instagram Live, and I was like, oh my God, fuck, that's so cool. But for just 10 minutes, you just see it's like that selfie angle right. of just them staring at their phone going, shout out to Albania. Like, and it's just like, and then, because the thing is, the videos get saved on their profile. So if you're ever going to watch that video again, it's like the worst 10 minutes of content ever.
Yeah.
And then, I did an Instagram Live, like, it was the first time I'd ever done one. And I didn't realize that they were filmed and then on the, like, I thought it was kind of like doing a podcast type of thing where it's like, okay, it's done. It's out in the ether. No one will see. And he's like, yeah, cool. It's going to be in my profile. And suddenly I was like all self-conscious, like, oh my God, like that's there forever. And I just thought it was a fleeting moment.
Mm. I wish that people doing Instagram Live shows would make that we could all as a community make the rule that you just don't save it. Like, don't save it.
Right.
I don't want people to see
that,
me.
That reminds
like,
me, I should delete this other one I did like on election day.
Although I will say, the only thing that I have heard that has been awesome from like, this was a Facebook Live, I think, was, and this is just a story I heard, but as far as I know, there's this comic in LA, Buddy Diaz, I think. I don't know if you guys know
Buddy Diaz. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that he had his laptop stolen and he was able to track where his laptop had been stolen. And he went on Facebook Live and they found out it was like some homeless people under a bridge had stolen it. So as he was on Facebook Live, like to have witnesses, he went and got his laptop back. That's the only time I've ever heard of like an awesome Facebook Live story. Yeah. But aside from that, I'm just like, I don't want to see someone's selfie angle just staring at going, oh, hello, Germany. Like,
I did not know that. Yeah.
The lives that are just purely like there's a few different buckets. I feel like there's ones where people are like doing a show for people. And like that's one version. Then there's like the someone actually going on a rant.
There are awesome ones.
Type ones.
Yeah.
That are like. Tend to go viral when a celebrity's doing. And then there are ones that are just so blatantly like for the person's ego where you're like, you just went live and are looking at yourself and then like waving, checking out your, like looking at yourself, being like, what up?
There are some, it depends on when celebrities go live. It so depends on who it is too. Cause it's like, you could end up with Vanessa Hudgens situation, or you could, someone who is fun when they go live, and at least when I, like, two celebrities that I usually watch when they go live is Anthony Hopkins. Because he usually does
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
I'm so sorry. Sir Anthony Hopkins. Uh-huh. He's got his cat on top of his piano and he just goes, hello. Like, he's just playing songs. It's very peaceful. And then Lakeith Stanfield does very chaotic Instagram lives where he will, like, have fans, like, request to join, and then he'll just talk to them.
Oh,
like,
that's nice.
And so there was, I watched this really, it went on forever. And I'm like, I wonder if everyone, I don't know, I just had this shared memory with whoever was watching that. But there was, like, a woman in Oregon who was like, Lakeith, I want to show you my chicken farm. And he was like, okay. And then it was this long, like, she couldn't find the chickens. And I think he wanted to be like, okay, I'm going to go. But he kind of felt bad. And so he's like, aww, no, find the chickens. And it went on forever.
That's also funny, too. And you're like, oh, Lakeith's a good dude for letting this go on. But you're kind of like, just end it for, like, everyone's sake, though.
We're all like, Lakeith, get rid of Chicken Lady. We're done with her.
Do not. It's hard being a merciful God when you're trying to make content, unfortunately. It really is something.
Now we're saying this. I feel like every time I talk about, like, underrated and overrated, by the time we've discussed it, I'm like, actually, it's not that bad.
Well, no, I think what you're talking about, the Pharrell being like, shout out to random countries or whoever's putting flag emojis in it. It's like, what is the point of that? Because I'm a huge Pharrell fan.
Same.
But, like, because I love the Neptunes, like, all the music they made is, like, just, I'm just stuck in my brain. Like, I would, if he goes live, I'm like, please give me some insights. Please reveal something. Don't just, like, wave or be like, yo, check out the new Adidas collab I did with Louis Vuitton. I'm like, well, like, no, come on, bro. Like, give me some fucking facts, some information.
Also, not that mine are any better. He's incredible for his age. Like, he's one of those people that people suspect he's a vampire just because he hasn't aged.
Yeah,
I know him and Mario Lopez, you know.
Mario Lopez, Paul Rudd, they all have some Paul sort of Rudd arrangement.
When you think that him and Joe Buck from Fox Sports were classmates, you're like, damn, fool, y'all are like on opposite ends now. We're like, Joe
someone
Buck is like, isn't he like an
bet.
Old man?
Yeah.
Someone lost a bet. Okay, well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and get into some stories after this.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and let's bring our attentions over to the White House as we, you know, for all the talk of like, is what's Trump going to do? It seems like logistically looks like he will physically leave Washington, D.C. Like all the movements we're seeing in his own world and preparations being made in either direction, it seems like that's happening. Although we don't know what he's still capable of because the lawsuit track is definitely being extinguished fully. And curious to know what now he's going to resort to try and upend the election, which is a whole other discussion, which we will only probably see play out horrifically in real time over the next couple weeks. But who knows? He may lose the appetite and just go to Russia because it seems like they're offering him a way out. But anyway, with that said, he has. Yeah, we were talking on yesterday's show about how Russian state media is basically openly extending an invitation and saying the government should actually offer him asylum because he will be prosecuted in the United States.
They're literally like, do you want to be our new? We have a job position open for Rasputin, for 21st century Rasputin, if you care to roll through.
21st century Rasputin, man.
Comes in on a skateboard. Cool.
And it's Donald Trump. You're like, oh, what the fuck is this?
Brain is dust.
It is one of those things. And like we were saying yesterday, Jamie, like he'd be way more effective as a tool of propaganda if he's fully enveloped in Russia, like by whatever they need, because from there they'd be like, we have him here and he sends messages to them there. And it's actually the most effective thing we've ever had or cultivated, actually, because they tried it with, you know, Steven Seagal, and we all just ignored him, unfortunately. I think they took a big swing thinking like, well, if Steven Seagal is an honorary, you know, Russian of repute, something will happen, but it didn't.
Yeah.
But either way, the White House itself, in the moment while we were speaking, is a grimy cesspit that is probably grimier than a rave porta potty. And with all like the anti-science, anti-hand-washing, non-mask wearing nonsense that goes on in their daily. Yes, if I were the person who was moving in next, I would want
power
more
wash it.
Yo, like burn it the fuck down, honestly.
Yeah.
Is that an option? Can we go take it to the fucking studs on this thing?
Honestly, yeah, it would be cathartic to see it. I mean, I think for everybody.
Everyone.
It would be nice.
Yeah, you
to
need
see
like
it
an
burn.
Exterminator, all the power.
You know, honestly, I feel like that might help everybody feel good. Like,
yeah,
I think everyone might bring their own thing. Like, if you're a just straight lib, you want to be like, yeah, fuck Trump's White House. You're a Trumper being like, yeah, Joe Biden can't live there. If you're a little more like on the left, you're like, man, that shit was built by slaves and is bullshit. Get that shit out of here. You know, like everybody would rejoice, but we digress. I think they're just going to call Ecolab.
Hey, we'll just throw out the idea. You know, if anyone wants to do it, you know,
Joe Biden, we're open to it.
Hey, Joe Biden.
Could we get it?
Get someone with like a sage stick, a California sage stick. Just like, this needs some better positive energy.
Oh, right. I mean, it would make sense because that's already like cultural appropriation. So to on top of that, within the White House, like, let's layer it on.
I just want someone to take a flamethrower to Melania's Christmas decorations. Like, there's so many beautiful possibilities here.
Right, that's cathartic. You know, like, everyone can come in and beat the shit out of the White House however they want to. It's like, look, you get a sledgehammer in 30 seconds. Do whatever the fuck you want. And then we'll just do it like that to kind of begin some kind of cathartic process for people. One of the strongest indications now that he will be leaving is that there's this whole story that Team Biden is going to disinfect the fuck out of the White House before they move in. In this political article, they're talking about Biden's transition team will have the White House fully cleaned by General Services Administration staffers hours after Trump leaves the building. A spokesperson for the GSA told Politico that the staffers will, quote, thoroughly clean and disinfect every area of the East and West wings that people have touched, including furniture and doorknobs. And a private contractor will also be brought in for, quote, disinfectant misting services.
I mean, fair enough. You know?
Yeah. Why not?
No matter where you fall on Biden, fair enough.
Yeah. No one's being like, yeah, I would clean the fuck out of that too. Like, no one, that seems an across the board thing. You want it clean after seeing how these people have been operating in there.
He's got to live there. That's unfortunate. Yeah.
Would you
do one of those shows, you know, where they like black out the lights and then use like a UV light and just like, look at all these stains. Here's all his piss.
Take a black light. Oh my God.
Yeah, black light. Yeah.
Oh no, no, no. I couldn't no, I'll be like re-traumatized just all over again. Like, being like, dude,
I feel like there'd just be like a Trump mark, like a Trump body shape.
Like an outline? Just riddled on the outline. It's like, all right, hit me with it.
Oh. Yeah, like spray tan marks just all on the world.
God, brutal.
They're like, we have to actually throw everything out that human skin has touched in this place, unfortunately.
I was hoping for the best, but we do have to burn it down. There's just no other way.
Unfortch. but like, you know, a lot of this is coming on the, like, the suggestions, I think, of the, you know, accepted medical knowledge in the world. But Nicole Lurie, who is one of Biden's COVID-19 advisors, was basically saying that, like, this operation in the White House will, quote, be the polar opposite of what you're seeing now in terms of, like, you will need to wear masks. Like, we will be socially distancing. We actually acknowledge that there's a pandemic. But it's interesting to hear that and using a line from a COVID-19 advisor about what is best because, you know, we're always going to take a look at what is actually happening with the Biden administration because the stakes are very high right now. And as we were saying, as we pinched our noses to go to the polls, just to sort of give a slight delay to autocracy in this country, he kept saying, I'll listen to the scientists. The science will guide what we do with this pandemic. I will listen. And people are like, fuck yeah. Because you know, when we look around at the countries that are doing better, you're like, it's because the leaders of the country said, we acknowledge that we don't know anything about this. That's why we are consulting the people who it's their, you know, their bag, their expertise to tell us about this.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the last 9 months, I will say that experts have said that a lockdown truly is one of the only ways that we can get the virus to a manageable level since Americans especially literally don't know how to act. There's no sense of duty to each other in this country. Unfortunately, the culture is too much about the self it's a very uniquely fucked up American way of handling things. And Dr. Michael Osterholm, who's been a very outspoken expert on all of this, who's been really like great to listen to because he's probably one of the clearest people. He doesn't mince his words. He likes to be very direct and like let people know how bad it can be, why it can get that bad, and realistically what needs to be done. He was advocating for 4 to 6 week shutdowns along with the government and many other experts saying we need like a 4 to 6 week shutdown and you should actually pay people so they can stay at home. That way we can achieve maximum compliance because right now we're doing this thing where it's like, well, stay inside. But also, like, if you can't work, that's not my problem, but you better stay inside and don't ask me for a fucking dime. What do you think I am, the government that you pay taxes to and I'm supposed to fucking help you out on behalf? No, fuck that. That's the weird situation we're in. And
It's like, oh, wait, that shit that people have been asking for from literally moment one, like that's back now. Cool.
Yeah.
Wait, so can I just check? Sorry, as the outsider. Mm-hmm. So as far as I know, you guys got paychecks the first lockdown, but is there not, there's not been any more payments?
No.
No.
One $1,200 payment seven months ago. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there was obviously there were some beefed up unemployment benefits, but also people's benefits are running out.
So many people. Yeah. And so many people aren't able to even access that.
Yeah. But that's the problem is, Katya, and you probably you lost a bit of your Americanness by being in the UK. You have to pull yourself up by your fucking bootstraps here.
If you can't make it work, then honestly, you're expendable.
If you can't work and you can't make it work, then this isn't going to work for us. It's sort of the mentality here. And so, it sucks.
I know. I mean, do feel that sometimes when I'm out there.
And I feel like we're already seeing with the transition that's taking place now that it's like, you know, we knew we were voting for scraps, but it's like the scraps are becoming apparent. We can't even get a, you know, it's like there are currently arguments going on to get Americans $600 checks, maybe if you're fucking lucky. And that's what the Biden administration has brought to the table thus far.
While we're doing like a $700 billion defense fucking spending bill.
Yeah, of course.
And you think
that's so classic.
And you look at the fucking numbers, there's about $80 billion of outstanding rent due in this country. What if you just lopped that off and just said, we're starting fucking over? And, you know, this we need to rethink this. But it's too.
Which
it's
is
too
kind
radical
of what we were promised,
for people.
But that's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just was never going to happen.
It really was this lure of like, we're going to do the right thing. Ah, yoinks, this is still America. We're just
and
somewhere blue hats, somewhere red hats.
Let's get an Airbnb executive in the cabinet. Let's get Mr. Raytheon in here. Yeah. Let's.
But
get
he is a
Lyft.
Man of color, so try and look past that, which is like the thing that they're doing, which is like, so even though we have a board member of Raytheon coming into the Secretary of Defense role, when most were like, we need more civilian oversight of the military, not generals. They're like a lot of the argument being peddled is like, well, it is the, you know, he's African-American man and blah, blah, blah. It's like, right. But you can't just say, you can't just use a, like, you're just diversifying the look of oppression. That's all it is.
Right.
You're not actually, it's not real diversity. You're just diversifying the look of the system. But anyway, we digress. We've been talking about lockdowns. Everyone's been saying lockdowns. Dr. Fauci has been talking about lockdowns, how they're fucking effective. You know, we for all the love we send to New Zealand, they did a lockdown. These other countries that are getting like in Asia, other places, lockdowns while also looking after the people to be able to achieve the compliance. And also, you know, as a duty to your citizens to take care of them, they're doing those things. So
collective,
we're like,
imagine.
Yeah. And we're like, oh, shit. OK, so Fauci's saying that, Osterholm saying that, and Biden's out here campaigning on, I'll listen to the scientists. And if they tell me to, and he himself in August said, if they told me to shut it down, when we might have to shut it down. Well, cut to Biden is president and not doing anything that he said he would. He's all these campaign promises. We're starting to see these people walk their comments back. Dr. Fauci is not saying that it's about lockdowns, that we can do more targeted. There's other ways to achieve it. But sir, in your capacity, when you were really trying to speak loudly with your chest about what is right, you said what is right. Dr. Osterholm did the same thing. When he came out and said we need to support workers and like actually shut it down to get control over it, not swamp our ICUs like we're doing right now, we have to do this. But then he got contradicted by two people on Biden's team and he himself had to walk that fucking back. So it's a very, very, I think, predictable situation because the term lockdown is very scary to people in this country specifically because the government is doing fuck all to make it work. You know, it's just being like, most people just associate lockdown with no work, no money. And that's in other places where it's like, no work, but we're going to handle your bills. Like, don't sweat that because obviously we have a pandemic we're trying to fight. What are you talking about? We don't
have options for recourse. No. So it's just it's so bleak. And it and all you hear from leaders is like, hang in there. All we're asking you is to stay inside But I mean, here, that's not true. It's like, yes, you're being asked to stay inside, but for so many people, it's we're also asking you to just, you know, become poorer and poorer and at higher risk and at higher risk, and we're not going to do anything about it. Like, it's,
And the best they can do is like, should we lower healthcare costs for some people since the pandemic? Because like 14 million people lost their health insurance. Like, That's a question.
Wait, that's the thing? Loads of people lost their health insurance?
Oh, yeah, through being unemployed.
Oh, because they couldn't. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
You know, because this is, if you're not producing, you don't get health insurance here. Yeah. Those are kind of the rules.
Yeah, and I mean, and the unhoused population is expectedly rising because there's been no meaningful freeze put on any evictions, and landlords are still allowed to evict people as much as they want to. And so it's like you get these draconian, I was reading into the like specifics of how the latest LA lockdown was phrased, and there was literally like a clause in it saying, you know, unhoused people are exempt from having to be inside. And it's fuck you. Like what are you going to do to help people?
Yeah.
We're not going to give them tickets.
We're not going to fine you. It's just like, ugh.
Wait, so people are given tickets out here if you're seen outside? Oh, yeah, it's the same as...
Not necessarily, but, like, if you're having, like, a wild-ass party or something, and it's, like, the police show up, and you're like, what the fuck is this? Sure. But it's not... There's really no way for any municipality to enforce a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. In our first lockdown, if people went for, like, a walk out in nature, but it was, like, way too far from their home, like, say someone from England went... I don't know. There's a place called the Lake District. It's sort of like, it'd be like going from like LA to the Grand Canyon, probably not as far, but it's like,
that's not LA.
Yeah, exactly. People would count that as like, oh, I'm doing my daily exercise. So then they would get tickets.
Yeah. And it's funny because like even in the UK, you know, like Boris Johnson has been going back and forth on what to do. And then it's like, well, there'll be a circuit breaker lockdown thing we'll do. And you know, you're all going through the same thing to a lesser degree, but at least there is more stringent talk of like what to do. But it's this targeted approach thing. When you hear that, that's them saying we don't want to cut the fucking checks to support people. So we're going to do this other thing that allows the corporate donor class to continue to make money because we also can't freak them out. And also we don't want to say lockdown because then that invites right wing outrage, which Democrats are. It's like they're boogeyman. Like they can't stand when Republicans don't like them. It's so fucked up.
Wow. It really is awful here, isn't it?
I'm so sorry to hear this. It's such an eye opener to hear. Cause it's like you know, you just see things for your friend's Instagram or stuff. And it's like you hear every now and then, like, you know, different things being shared, but it's like hearing it, you know, like this through for Zoom, it's just really eye-opening, like just how horrendous.
Yeah, well, and it's just revealing how awful and toxic and barbaric the culture is of governance and just American culture writ large.
But on the bright side, there is like there's to look for bright side, like I feel like the general consciousness around mutual aid and the interest in the collective in the U.S. has just really
skyrocketed. Sure.
Yeah. Which
that's
is
the same in the U.K. as well. Like the way that, especially in London, people don't know their neighbors and now people starting to know their neighbors. my grandmother, actually, she lived through, she was evacuated during the war and she's still alive now. And she's saying about how this reminds her of that camaraderie during the war where it's just people look out for each other because it's kind of, you just have to.
Yeah, it's like it. That's what gives me comfort. It is like general human nature to want to help each other, and it's truly like unfortunately the problem are the people who are in control.
Yeah, because they're living a different reality. You know, like they're not in a situation where they are going to have to humble themselves and ask for help, or
they'll always be okay,
or extend a hand to someone else. They're surrounded by other people who are materially very comfortable, and so none of these things are going to reach them. So their understanding of it is abstract to the point that it's just exacerbating all of their failures in general. So, stay tuned for more. But it is true. Like, I'm heartened to see, especially in a city like LA, where I'm like, man, everybody's in their cars. Nobody gives a fuck about each other. Like, at least in New York, you're walking on the street, like near people
you're
and on a subway.
Here,
yeah. Like, hey, I'm walking here in New York.
You're walking here.
But here we're driving here and ignoring each other. And you might not even know who the fuck anyone is. But I am it has been a lot of outpouring of support. Like, you know, my neighbors have like just they're putting like more things out for people. Like you can see in parts of the city where it's like, hey, we know the city might not be coming through with aid, but there's ways we can help with, you know, shelter or food or whatever. or just refrigerators popping up. And that's another thing that's happening in the country, of like these stocked refrigerators.
The community fridges.
That's nice.
It's been really cool because it's now it's becoming like a city program as well. As of like today, they're starting to, you know, widen the program, but it was started by regular people who were just like maintaining fridges because there has been such, you know, there was such a big issue with rising unhoused population here anyways.
And food security. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like when that was exacerbated by the pandemic, it's like just regular people stepped up. And I'm glad it's becoming a bigger program. I mean, do I think that the, you know, city and state government are going to take all the fucking credit? Of course they will. Mm-hmm. But it was a people driven project. And now it's actually getting some funding and some, you know, hopefully some financing behind it.
I mean, I remember when Mayor Garcetti's father, Gil Garcetti, actually thought this up in the 90s, and they just hadn't done it yet. But that's what I believe. I think Eric Garcetti thought it up.
Oh my God, I'd snap that man over my fucking knee.
I like how that guy also he couldn't even get a cabinet position. He was doing all this angling because you knew he was so horny for the fucking federal government. And then they're like, hey, you want to be like some outside advisor groupie? And he's like,
imagine simping that hard and having everyone in your city absolutely hate you and then still accomplish nothing. Like, he's just truly the biggest loser of all time.
All right. So one thing I do want to just touch on, too, is, you know, this culture of, you know, like, I can't be stopped no matter what in a pandemic, because I think that's prevalent. I think in every country, there's a level of denial that I think people experience because it's a very shitty world to think like I'm in a situation where I'm basically very out of control of many different things happening. And one of that ways that's manifested, I think, is in like these people who vacation a lot despite the pandemic. Like I see this on my own feeds at time to time. I'm like, you're in Mexico right now? Like, you got on a plane and went to fucking Cabo right now? When?
Yeah.
Okay.
That happened a lot in the summer in the UK. I knew a lot of people that went to Spain. And I actually went to Norway because my friend got married during the pandemic. And she just said, it's now or never. But Norway was very, like, it was totally... Well, it was like much, much better than anywhere else. And that was the weirdest situation, was being in Norway. I'm Norwegian. I speak Norwegian. The minute I told them I'd come from the UK, suddenly I was like, yeah, everyone ran away from me, dodged out the way. But I was just there for a week or so. But that was, the odd thing. Once I got there, I felt really sick and I was just like, oh my God, I've gotten sick again off the flight. But fortunately, I was fine. That was a thing in the summer. There was just that, like you say, like that denial where everyone was just like, I think we'll be fine. It's kind of the summer now, you know, everyone's healthier in the summer.
It just means it's warmer outside.
Yeah.
My full body chills are still happening. It's this sort of like, it's also this like I've never been told no crowd too, that is what 100%. We're seeing really. It's like these are people who have never heard the word no and have never been told they are not allowed to go somewhere. So there's this group, it's got like 5,000 followers on Facebook. And it's like this COVID travelers group is what it's called.
No way.
And it's for people to basically avoid persecution for just chasing good vibes during bummer times. In this Daily Beast article, they're saying, but there is, quote, nothing safe about this space. Instead, its members are looking for ways to circumvent public health protocols or avoid them altogether. Members have suggested bribing doctors for fake vaccine certificates and forging doctor's notes to avoid wearing a mask. One recently compared face coverings to the stars Jewish people were forced to wear during the Holocaust. And they also just trade tips on like where you can go without having to wear a mask. Like one user wrote, quote, I just arrived in Playa del Carmen in Mexico. The place is full of life and easy going. No masks if you don't want to wear one. Get out of Europe before you get infected with fear 2020.
The thing that really shocked me was when the pandemic was going and I find American media, like when I was still out in LA, my friend's dad was listening to the news constantly. And I found it so terrifying, just constantly hearing. But it was also as everything was developing, you know, just as we were finding everything out. And it wasn't until I got to the UK and hearing just the BBC compared to the American media, it was just so different. Like, I left LA, everyone was wearing face masks in the airport. I got to the UK, I was the only person wearing a face mask in the airport. And people, and it was then in the UK where people were only allowed to wear masks if you had the virus. So it's just so interesting just how the fear in the US news was so much more than in the UK.
Right. Or, but then on the other side too, there are people being like, don't worry, it's a hoax. So it's like,
yeah.
Where the fuck are we?
The polls are pulled.
Is this hell?
I mean, it's like, truly, if they're not going to give us another check, the least the Biden administration can do is just like blow up every Facebook server on the fucking planet. Like, a story with a Facebook group never, ever. When has it ever ended well? Never.
No. Never. I mean, people have had to do full podcast, deep dive investigations.
Oh, yeah. This is a plug.
Comical use of air horn. I mean, genius use of air horn. Air horn. I mean, you should check it out. It's My Year in Mensa by Jamie Loftus.
It's just. It does blow my mind, though, because it's just like Facebook is just a place where parents get radicalized. Like, that is its
or
function at this
just
point.
For selfish dickheads to trade tips.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ultimately, you can zoom out and it's always just like a place for selfish dickheads, you know, and they'll they sort of go off into their corners, whatever specific version of dickheadery it is.
Did you say selfish dickheads, Miles? I think you meant rugged individualists.
Language. That was the thing that I was trying to say. It was like the American media was so terrifying, but my friend in LA still kept going, I just need to live my life. Like, I just need to keep, like, why can I not live my life? And it's just like, are you freaking kidding me? It really made me aware of, like, the selfish friends.
It really,
let me live my life.
It's my life. Oh, that one.
Sure. Like, do you, Ma? But, like, it is, I mean, I think it's all levels of how much you want to avoid acknowledging the collective pain our world is experiencing at the moment. And how willing you are to engage with that and feel empathy and sorrow and wanting to envision something better. And then, you know, they spoke to this guy who started, he's this German dude who has like a boat that's like named Stateless in Germany. And he's like this very, you know, what you can imagine a guy who started a Facebook group for people to trade, you know, underhanded COVID travel tips. He calls it, quote, it's a safe space for those people who are bullied in the mainstream. And I don't think it's dangerous. I think freedom of speech is much more important than dangerous effects evolving from it. Okay, I don't know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, I was like, that's a lot of words. It's a lot
later
of words
on,
in a row.
He posted in like the group, he's like, I just spoke to somebody in the Daily Beast and was saying that this is going to be, quote, a great propaganda piece, and that the journalist, quote, was not very happy about this safe space. You can say one thing and mean the other. But it's interesting, even in this group, they're not even stoked about the prospect of a fucking vaccine, which I think indicates further that this is just about some, my fucking selfish dickheadery, sovereign citizen, you can't control me, government. Shit.
I
then
like
dickheadery. Safety. Yeah, you know, it's something new. It's something I'm trying out. Nice. Ever since Nigella Lawson hit it big with Microwave, I feel like I need my own take. But yeah, like in the group, they did a post being like, how would you feel like if there was a vaccine required for travel, like for travel? Like almost 200 people responded, and the answers were things like, quote, hire a private jet, bribe anyone to give me the pass, visit a doctor in the third world with a fistful of good looking cash, create an internal group to document where and how to get a vaccine without actually getting it. And people who are like on the side of even somewhat reasonable logic, I'm like, yeah, but if you have it, then you won't get sick. Like, what about that, though? There is a benefit to getting inoculated against something like this. People are just getting shut down. Like one of the women in the group was pleading with members to not go to Australia without a vaccine. Like, please, like, just don't do it. Like, it only makes sense just for everyone. This person was called, quote, a proud North Korean, and was informed that we will not get back our freedom and liberty by complying with a fascist regime.
What does that even mean? Like, that's so many. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
All right. Well, shut it down. Shut it
down. Yeah, shut the whole fucking thing down, please.
Facebook Biden. Groups are not serving anybody. Come on. This is the least they can do. That's a half measure from the Biden administration that I would be perfectly fine.
I'm like, it's incremental as fuck, but at least it's something that was on the list of things I'd like to get done. So
Right.
I think there are higher priority things, but sure. Okay, at least you did that.
But okay, if you do one thing, I would honestly be shocked.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, meet my the president of the treasury, Jamie Dimon from Chase Bank or some shit. Anyway, I mean, it's not going to be, but you know, you can see it. I mean, there's plenty of lobbyist swamp tings.
There's so much. I saw a clickbait piece that was like, do you think a woman could run the VA? I'm like, well, if she's evil, probably she could.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, so frustrating.
She's a ghoulish capitalist who's willing to undercut the benefits for veterans. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Could be any, it could honestly be a fucking robot.
Working on that story right now. We found plenty of women who are willing to screw over veterans. So don't worry about it.
They're like, but diversity. Oh, you're gonna vote against a woman? It's like, no, you're just diversifying the face of oppression. That's all you're doing. It's not it's not progress. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and take shots at Disneyland.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And Disneyland. I mean, or Disney World, rather, because we live in a fascist state of California where they're doing things like not allowing Disneyland to open despite the pleas of all the annual pass holders at the gates in Anaheim, which is the cringiest shit you've ever seen.
Oh, my God. The most embarrassing. I enjoy Disneyland, but that was the most embarrassing protest I've ever seen in my life. Like, there's a bunch of dads in goofy ears being like, come on.
Bring back the magic.
And you're like, we like, need to regress here.
50 years old. Yeah.
So Disney World, on the other hand, in the great sunshine state of Florida, headed up by Governor Ron DeSantis, they've been actually expanding their guest capacity. So they were going at 25%. And I think we remember when Disneyland opened, there's like that viral moment where like one of these women was like experiencing cold symptoms. And they're like, mm-hmm. I think this woman has COVID and is at Disney World without a mask. That was sort of our first sort of insights into what this place looked like. And it was very creepy. They've upped
along
it
with
now.
That commercial too, that was like, welcome back to the magic. And it just looked like hell.
Yeah, it's like, okay, the magic of denial, I guess. Sure.
The magic of dissociation.
Yeah, seriously. And now that like the things are increasing, people are sort of like, that's not the best thing. I mean, like the state of Florida is currently like getting completely thrashed by COVID as well. But last week, all four of Disney World's parks reached capacity. Like enough people were like, yo, we're down with this shit, and they're letting us in, that every time they're like, hey, we're at capacity, no more, which is very frightening. And a lot of people, again, you got people congregating in a theme park. You know, it's like, are they wearing masks? We don't really know what's really happening in here. It turns out that even though like it might not be safe, Disney's really going all in on making things look safe, even if it isn't. So... if guests aren't wearing masks on rides, the park has been digitally adding masks to their photo pass pictures. So like if you're on Splash Mountain or whatever, any of those rides where like you get the photo, if you don't have a mask on, they've been digitally adding the fucking masks to the faces. And they're so archaic. It's like, it looks like how you do it in like, if there was like a iPhone app that was just like mask app, like drag a mask over anyone's face. God. That's what they have.
They're making their like employees who are putting themselves in an unsafe position in the first place to have to go back to work. They're making people do that.
Yeah, well, because first
that they're making
they would be like
do that.
They're saying we can't actually give you your photo because you weren't wearing a mask on it. And they were denying people the photos for not having a mask on because it was proof that Disneyland doesn't give a fuck.
Also,
Disney
like
World,
some of these Disney rides where you get like splashed water in the face, like the idea of breathing a wet mask. Like, why would you even put yourself through that? Or just like, you know, the act of being on a roller coaster where you're like, having that.
Like
covered.
Someone in the front is yelling and you're like inhaling their scream. Whatever. I mean, look, you're missing the point here. It's about the magic, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're not, I guess this is where it gets kind of in the weeds on like mask rules, because I know that Florida doesn't have good policies. But like when you're on like Disney property, can't they just say you have to?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Can you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Then how is this happening?
Because they're they're a capitalist enterprise, so like it behooves you to not upset anyone and just be like, I don't know, man, as long as that till has money popping off in it, I don't give a fuck what people are doing here. And they really don't, because they're so secretive, right? Disney's so like, you're not gonna know how fucked up it is here. I mean, because they've said no outbreaks have been traced to like any of the Disney parks, but there's like no comprehensive contact tracing. So I don't know how you would have done it anyway. So it's hard to say like what has happened. And Disney's also declined on many occasions to say how many of their employees have tested positive since the resort reopened. They're just like, oh, it's minimal. This is one of the people who is the representatives of like the employees said, quote, we've had very few and none, as far as we can tell, have been from work-related exposure.
Well, that's and on top of that, like, I don't know. I mean, I just genuinely don't know this information. But like, if you do have COVID, does the company take care of you, or would it behoove you to not tell your employer if you think you might have COVID and right. go into work anyways? Because I feel like that is such a huge source of spread, is people who are not getting any support from the government and may not be getting support from their place of work if they do get sick. So then, you know, it's like they still have to pay their rent because there's blah, 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 blah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, it's no, just, but this
Auntie
is how
Jamie's spiraling again.
No, but Auntie Jamie is looking into Sauron's shitty eye of how the system works. And like they've done this shit before, like in Anaheim at Disneyland in 1999, a park goer was struck by like a flying piece of metal and killed
what?
By a, yes, this happened at the park, and Disneyland called the fucking paramedics, but not the police. And they cleaned up the fucking mess. And the police only found out because the paramedics are like, yo, we just picked up a fatality here over at Disneyland. And they're like, what? They didn't call us. And they got there and they're like, what happened? They're like, oh, we cleaned it up. And they're like, what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah.
Like, we needed to invest.
Oh my God.
And technically it's not illegal what they did, but that just shows you the culture of like, just fucking clean it up, man. Don't fucking tell anybody. Don't call the fucking cops.
We can't get shit down.
Shut up, you fucking snitch. What the fuck are you doing? Fuck. So
what a treat.
That. What a treat. And just one last treat I want to go out on, actually, is just Jamie and I, we were talking about what it was like to work at Playboy back in the day. And I don't know if this was on mic.
God.
We did this, but we worked at Playboy. We actually worked there at the same time and weren't even friends. It's a shame. Although I did
know.
I knew of you because everyone was saying she's a comedian. And I was like, what? There's someone funny here? Get away from me, Matt Shirley.
No one talked to me. Yeah, we should have been friends at Playboy. No one talked to me. It was just being
Well, you were in a weird part of the office. It was a weird time. The country was, or the company was having a bit of trouble figuring out their toxic identity.
The non-nude age.
Yeah. And
were you guys like at Hefner's house or?
We got to go to the mansion for like staff party once.
You got to go. I didn't. I never got to go.
Yeah.
Did I tell you?
I got
you
terribly drunk and walked into a glass wall.
My sister snuck into Hugh Hefner's house on Valentine's Day. Yeah, and met his
Good
son,
story.
And they were just hanging out.
Connor.
Or whatever
was
sure
that guy's name?
Oh,
wait, the dude who's like running it.
If it wasn't Connery,
he's like roughly
he had the energy
our age,
of the
a little
Connery.
Bit.
Yeah, yeah, he's the one running
and he's,
it now.
He's on it. He was the guy that stole my cake when he was on a Segway. It was like the day that I got laid off, and my boss was like, "Here's a cake," because I got laid off on my birthday, and they got me a birthday slash goodbye cake that was really depressing. And then Hugh Hefner's son rolled in on a Segway. Obviously, like I had no idea who he was, and he was just like, "Hey, whose birthday is it? Can I have a piece of cake?" And
Yoink.
He just rolled away. And then he fell. So it's good.
Taken off with your cake and your health insurance.
The
reason I bring it up is because every like 3 to 6 months, the online store, the Playboy magazine online store, would just have a free-for-all of shit nobody wanted. And the staff could go and like pick from the bones of like the online store and get like a t-shirt or beer cozies or high-heeled sneakers in Jamie's case that she...
yep.
so lovingly took. But I just want to I just point this out because the State Department had a holiday party on Tuesday, or super spreader event, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Yeah.
But I just want to point out what the gift bags were at this Department holiday party. Quote, this is from the Washington Post reporting of this State Department party. Amid the poinsettias, chandeliers, and meticulously decorated Christmas trees, children on Tuesday night received Be Best branded swag. Such as backpacks, frisbees, and water bottles from First Lady Melania Trump's signature anti-bullying and wellness initiative. The State Department has a stockpile of Be Best merchandise that is often handed out when the First Lady travels abroad. In the absence of a second Trump term, officials need to find a home for the surplus gear, one official said. The official said, quote, it's time to get rid of the leftovers.
That does sound like a Playboy giveaway.
Yeah, where
they're like,
hey,
well, this is the worst. This is a bad idea.
Come and get it. We got it here.
Oh,
but yeah.
My friend.
What a treat.
My friend was like asking me if I had any tattoos. And I was like, I change my mind so often. I was like, I'd be one of those people that would get a Playboy like tattoo and regret it. And when I said that, her boyfriend pulled up his sleeve and he had a bit Playboy tattoo. And I was like, I'm sure yours is great.
I mean, it's the most recognized logo on Earth. It's the most recognized logo on Earth. So
I love when someone has an embarrassing tattoo that is also very large, there's almost nothing funnier in the world. I like ran into my high school boyfriend. This sounds fake, but it was real. I ran into one of my first high school boyfriend a couple years after he had dumped me for the saxophone.
And sounds like Whiplash, that movie, except saxophone.
Sounds like that movie drugs. This Christmas. Except, he left you for his music career?
He did leave me for
Quentin
jazz.
Was he Quentin Sr.? Okay.
It was Quentin Sr. He left me for jazz. But then I saw him a couple years later, and he had a huge tattoo of Foghorn Leghorn on his bicep. And he was like, my uncle got it too. It was a little thing me and my uncle did. He had a huge
I said, what the fuck? You got a Foghorn Leghorn tattoo?
Yes, I swear to God, he had a huge Foghorn Leghorn tattoo. And then it was like, it was great for me because I was like, well, this breakup
yeah,
actually
like validation,
was
validation.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, a huge fog, like just someone
just
that.
Out of nostalgia?
You put your mouth on this person and then now they have a Foghorn Leghorn tattoo. I don't know. Ugh. Haunts me.
I just Googled Foghorn Leghorn. Now I get the joke.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Just an odd one. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That is odd.
Well. What can you do? But you know, let's move on to nicer things. And with that, Katya, the nicer thing is thanking you for joining
us
on this magical journey
so much.
Today.
Thanking you guys.
And I'm hoping that you recover swiftly. And I know things are still lingering, and it's tough.
I kept trying to hide my cough. I just would like turn my head.
Oh yeah, don't worry. Thoughts and prayers, real ones, real ones, the real ones, the real kinds. Katya, where can people find you and follow you, and what's the tweet that you like?
So I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Katya Kvinge, KatiaKvinge. I often have to spell it. It's like sometimes in the UK I have to do it phonetically, like K for Kilo, V for Victor, I for Indigo, N for November, G for Golf, E for Echo. In America, they're like, what? N for Nancy, not November.
Yeah, Indigo? What the fuck was that?
That's a very classy speller.
Yeah. What do you guys do I for in the US?
I don't know.
For Iowa? Well, if we're using the NATO alphabet, I think is what it's called.
G for God.
I think
e
it's
for
India.
Everybody.
G for gun.
I think it's India.
Yeah. My mom used to
India.
My mom used to do L O F as in Frank, T U S as in Sam. That was like how she would, which is kind of icky.
Sierra.
Yeah.
Singa, Tango, uniform, Victor, whiskey, X-ray. I remember being like I had a kid's almanac that had that as a fact, and I was like, oh shit, now I know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'll impress my vet teacher, my veteran teacher, and he'll be like, okay, cool, kid. Is there a tweet that you're liking?
I saw, actually, it's more on Instagram. Can I do that?
Or yeah, absolutely.
Do I need to tweet?
No, so we're just not tied to any social media.
I just followed this account that was called Influencers in the Wild, which is now the joy of my life. It's so funny. It was this guy, he's out in a field. He finds this, this must be so annoying, me laughing and I haven't even said what it is. But he finds like what looks like a corn dog and it's like this natural plant and he bites into it as if it's a corn dog. And it's just like the amount of like whatever like fluff from this plant comes out of his mouth. Like it's literally like he's like burning like fire from this. I don't know. Sorry. That's probably one of those. Oh, I should have seen it. But there's this other one where it's this girl. She's some famous TikTok star or something. And so the video is of these fans that approach her going like, hey, can we get a picture? And she's like, yeah, but wait, let me do my TikTok. So they're all stood in a huddle watching her as she's like doing all the like TikTok sexy dance moves. And it's just kind of like the lack of self-awareness that these people have is so funny.
Especially it was really wild during the uprisings, that account. Because they were putting people on blast where, you know, all the Black Lives Matter protests that were happening, like a lot of influencer scumbag people were just sort of like up in it for the photo.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
like leaving or being like, I'm helping to clean up the broken property.
Or they
property.
Would like show up drunk or like, yeah, it was bad.
They were getting
bad,
exposed. But yeah, that
was
account
like the Kendall Jenner
else.
Holding up the Black Lives Matter. And then you see in the shadow, she's not even got a sign.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
You know, well, you know, so they got the Disneyland treatment is what we call that. You just dump it in some Photoshoppery. Jemé, oh, right, where can people find you, follow you? What's the tweet?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, or Instagram Jamie Christ Superstar. Listen to Lolita podcast. The Bechdel cast is doing a fundraiser with Danielle Perez, Grace Thomas, and Joelle Monique on this Sunday night. We're doing a broadcast live reading of the Santa Claus. And we're gonna be raising money for reclaiming and rebuilding communities. So check that out. And the tweet is going to be from my friend Devin Manny, who is also an amazing artist. He tweeted a screenshot that revealed the news that Ellen DeGeneres tests positive for COVID-19, halts talk show production until January. Whoa. He captions it, and people say working for Ellen isn't a positive experience, SMDH, because she made me laugh. That's all.
Some tweets I like. One's from Billy Wayne Davis at Billy Wayne Davis. He's saying, yo, stupids, Elon and Rogan just moved their quote official residences to Texas. They still do business and have homes in California. They didn't fucking move. They bought a house to save money on taxes, something about 95% of their fans can't do. I would probably say 99% of most people can't do. Yeah, I don't think many people will find themselves in a situation of like, should I just buy a house there to save money on taxes? That's a fucking another level of just hoarding your wealth that people need to be a little more aware of. Another tweet I like is from actually you, Jamie. You are quote tweeting an article from Discussing Film that says Christopher Nolan is a huge fan of the Fast and Furious franchise. I've got a very soft spot for Tokyo Drift, actually. And you tweet, Jamie, this man does a heel turn 3 times a week. Yeah, it really is. Everyone, and then you say, everyone in the comments yelling at me for wrestling vocabulary, get a life. Oh, my God. Yeah, who knows? Whatever.
Sorry,
this
it
is.
Was a face turn. It was a face turn.
Whatever.
Was like, oh, Jamie hates Tokyo Drift. Obviously, I don't hate Tokyo Drift. I'm not a fool.
But also, who cares? You know, really. Yeah. If someone doesn't like a thing you like, that doesn't make you stupid. Because I know that's the insecurity we all feel. If someone's like, I don't like that thing, you're like, well, what, you think I'm stupid then? And you're like, no, I'm just like, no, a different just person don't. With you who had a completely different life experience and my tastes are slightly different. But you can do whatever you want as long as it's not some hateful, racist shit. Another tweet I like is from Tanya Golash Boza at Tanya Boza. She tweeted, my teen daughter just asked me if Latinx is a race or ethnicity. I told her to read chapter 7 of my book, Race and Racisms, so we can have an informed discussion. Loving that. Shout out to everybody else out there listening. Just so you know, the dailies. Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, in case you're wondering, and also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more, you know, content, check out the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. And also we've got a website, Facebook fam site. Website is dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post the episodes and footnotes.
Footnotes.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
where we have the footnotes and the song we ride out on. The song we are about to ride out on is from Shamana. And it's called SoundCloud. It's just got a blown out SoundCloud beat, and it's just basically a grimy remix. But it's just got, I don't know, it feels like SoundCloud, and it also kind of goes. So, you know, slap this in your car into the weekend. SoundCloud by Shamana. All right, until then, we'll see you later for some trends. Bye.
Bye. I've been getting money, I ain't worried about what you do. I'm getting money.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at tomboyx.com.